32 years later, the government in Ukraine is still cleaning up from the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. Thousands of people died, nearly 100 Ukrainian villages were abandoned, and the total cost of the cleanup amounts to at least $700 billion. Our Cross Women's Lives reporter, Allison Herrera, was recently in Ukraine, and she met some of the women who are still living close to the crippled reactor, despite the risks.
Every day, one of the world's worst nuclear accidents is recreated over and over at the National Chernobyl Museum near the center of Kiev in Ukraine. It's a diorama that shows the reactor melting down with almost scary precision. All of a sudden, the room with the diorama gets really dark. Lights flash, alarms sound, and ominous music fades up as a dark cloud passes over the model in the diorama case. This model represents the exact moment on April 26, 1986, when the Chernobyl nuclear power plant exploded and clouds of radiation traveled over what was then a territory of the Soviet Union. The radiation killed thousands of people, and 92 villages nearby were permanently evacuated. The government spent billions of dollars to clean up after the disaster. A generation later, Ukraine is still dealing with the aftermath of this nuclear disaster. Now, there's a 1,000-square-mile area around the defunct plant, known as the exclusion zone, where people are forbidden to live. Even to this day, the government has teams of scientists who monitor the soil, vegetation, and wildlife for radiation, not only inside that exclusion zone, but outside of it as well. Who are these teams of scientists, and what exactly are they monitoring?
Kasparov Valery Alexandrovich, director of Ukrainian.
That's Valery Kasparov, introducing himself to me in Russian. He's the director of the Ukrainian Institute of Agricultural Radiology. You can almost hear the lab coat he wears from the tone in his voice. His office is in a group of gated Soviet-style laboratories about 83 miles from the abandoned villages that surround Chernobyl nuclear power plant.
Our institute was established a month after the Chernobyl accident because the main problem associated with the accident had to do with its consequences on agricultural production and training the rural population.
This area, known as the exclusion zone in Ukraine, was known for its fertile soil. Before the accident, it was called the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. People farmed this land, and it provided fields to feed people here in the former Soviet Union. And now it's deserted. Nobody's farming there anymore. It's dangerous to live there because it's still contaminated. That's Valentin Protsak. He's one of the researchers that works with Valery at the institute. We're standing in front of a map. He's showing me some spots outside the exclusion zone they've been monitoring. Some spots outside the exclusion zone have the same amount of dangerous radiation as those inside the zone. After all these years, people have been living in areas declared safe, but it might not be.
Once it became clear, it turned out that these areas were almost exclusively used as temporary encampments for military subunits.
32 years ago, when soldiers were cleaning up after the disaster, they stayed in small villages outside the exclusion zone. They tracked radioactive soil from their boots and vehicles. Valentin and his team are just finding this out. He said there's no official record of where the soldiers stayed, so researchers rely on help from villagers.
It is a 3-year project. Now in the second year of the project, we discovered such areas that you need to do something with them, or they should be removed from there and taken for disposal and burial.
So how do residents know they're living in one of these radiation hotspots? Spots where radiation may be just as high as near the reactor in Chernobyl? They don't. That's because researchers are still working on a map and their report about those hotspots. You can find a draft of that map on the wall of one of those laboratories, but it's doubtful residents living in those dangerous villages have ever seen it. So I drove to one of those villages to find out who might be living there. I brought along a Geiger counter. That's the beeping sound you hear in the background. It measures radiation. About a two-hour drive from Kiev is the small, nearly abandoned village of Kropilka. It's one of those villages on the map that is considered a hotspot. It's also a 35-minute drive to Reactor 4 from here, but the exclusion zone is close by, about a mile away. It's here that I meet Nina, walking alongside the road.
Ну, як ми жили на місці, так і жили. Більше я не можу думати, синок, бо мені вже голова.
How we lived in this place is how we continue to live. I cannot tell you more than that. I can't think about it anymore because my brain does not cook anymore.
Nina is 75 years old. A colorful headscarf covers her pulled back gray hair. As she wipes the dirt from her hands on her apron, she taps her metal bucket full of the bugs she pulled from her potato field, which is 2 feet away from where we stand talking. That contaminated soil soldiers tracked in from Chernobyl is the same soil where she's growing her potatoes today. All this time that Nina and I are talking about her potato field, the Geiger counter in my hand keeps beeping. Nina asked me if it was a phone. She'd never seen this instrument before, the instrument that measures radiation.
If you measure the field, will it beep? Let's go that way.
So I played scientist. I went out to the field and measured the radiation there. The beeping from the Geiger counter measures the amount of radiation present in the field. The more beeps you hear, the higher the levels of radiation are detected.
Tell her that we didn't hear anything, that they're fine.
For now, my amateur investigation finds that Nina just has a massive bug infestation. But the truth is, Nina says she was never worried, even after other neighboring towns were permanently evacuated. She's been here through the disaster, eating the same food and drinking the same milk, and she's still alive.
Перший рік нічого такого не відбувалося. Всі думали, що нас виселять.
The first year, nothing really happened. Everyone thought we would be evacuated as well. But then they left this village alone.
She never left. Nina said she and the other villagers didn't even know about the Chernobyl accident until a few weeks after it happened. It's unclear how many people used to live in Kropilka, but on this day there were only a few houses, a small road leading in and out of the village, and some apple trees still standing. There are no shops to buy food or other supplies. There's no public transportation available to nearby towns. She and other neighbors forage for their food in the surrounding fields and forests. While we're talking, a woman walks over to us. Her name is Maria, and she's the daughter of one of Nina's few remaining neighbors. She's driven here from Kiev to check on her mother. It turns out Maria is doing her own foraging and offers me what looks like blackberries she's just picked.
Yeah, take it, try it.
Sure.
Of course, I'm wondering if they're from the exclusion zone. I asked my translator to find out.
Where did they pick the berries from?
Звідки ви їх підібрали?
З зони.
From zone.
The zone. Yep, that's right.
Конечно, туди не дозволяють ходити.
No, yeah, they were stopping us. It's forbidden to go there.
Ну так просто там дырочку зробили і туди йдемо.
Ah, yeah, okay. We made a hole in the fence.
None of this seems to faze Nina, who has lived in this place her whole life. She says she could have moved to a larger city farther away from the Chernobyl accident. But the people who left and were exposed to radiation died anyway, and they died homesick.
Не хочу, буду тут і помирати. Лучшого там нема теж.
When they evacuated and relocated those villages, I visited some of those relatives. They were crying so much. They wanted to return home so much. They told me that if they would let them return, they would fly there on their wings. Even more of them died over there. But we are so fortunate, thank God. People are falling. I do not want to go anywhere. I would rather die here because it will not be good anywhere else at this age. I do not have the health for it.
As the few people left here continue to find a way to survive, government scientists say they're finally finishing their research on radiation levels near the exclusion zone. When they finish their report next year, they'll turn it over to the government, which will decide more than 30 years after the Chernobyl accident whether Nina and her few remaining neighbors will finally need to evacuate. For The World, I'm Alison Herrera, Kiev, Ukraine.
To see the village near the reactor where Nina lives, go to the Across Women's Lives Instagram page.